Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great guest in studio with us who's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. In fact, for those of you who joined us on the show yesterday, Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal joins us every Monday. It's our Back to Business segment. And actually, we got some great information, as always, from Evelyn Pyburn yesterday. One of the stories that stood out to me was a possible rare earth mine opportunity in western Montana, a huge opportunity for a rare earth mine in western Montana. And so I did a little write-up about that for our Montana Talks website, you know, because we've been saying since day one of this whole electric vehicle frenzy, if we don't mine the materials that are needed to power these vehicles right here in America, all we're doing is sending a massive check to China and to the communist Chinese leadership. So the bottom line is this: if you want electric vehicles or other types of so-called green technology, you're going to need rare earth minerals, and a lot of them. Well, apparently this is a huge deposit, great potential at the far south end of the Bitterroot National Forest in western Montana. So I pulled together a bunch of different information, and then, of course, the report out of the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you can see that right there. Also, I put together an update. Billings Police Chief Rich St. John called into the show yesterday morning to give us an update on the wounded police officer who was shot Saturday morning. That officer has now been identified, and hat tip to Haley Monaco with KTVQ Television. I saw her report last night as well, and she reports that Chief St. John said that Mike Urena was the officer shot. He's been on the police force for 13 years and was struck by a bullet around 10:45 Saturday morning. And then the other thing that she included in this report were some of the details. Apparently, the shot penetrated a ballistic shield carried by the lead officer and then struck him just below the body armor and in his lower abdomen. But he is in stable condition at a local hospital. And so anyway, that was the good news that was shared yesterday from Chief St. John, is that the officer is recovering and recovering well. But at least yesterday morning, we still were not able to learn the identity of the police officer because family were still being notified and coming and traveling in to the city as well. So anyway, the latest on that, go to MontanaTalks.com. I included a link to the KTVQ Television report for you as well. All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll get your news and weather in. And then in studio with us, we've got Tim Stark. You know, yesterday, Evelyn Pyburn was talking about 3D printed homes. And we were talking during the break, and Evelyn said, "Hey, have you heard about these 3D printed homes?" And I said, you know, I should get Tim Stark to join us on the show. Maybe he'll come join us in studio. And so I sent him a quick text yesterday. He's with us here today. So we'll chat with Tim Stark of Bespoke of Montana, talking about 3D printed homes. Pretty fascinating concept. He'll be with us right after this.
Here is your Montana news. A 25-year-old man was killed by a gunshot wound in Billings early Monday morning. KTVQ reported that police were called to the 200 block of North 18th Street at 3 in the morning and found the young man. The investigation is ongoing. A murder suspect from Great Falls shot himself in Pondera County after running from a crime scene in the West Hill neighborhood and after a police pursuit. These incidents began with the Great Falls police investigating a homicide on the 1400 block of 3rd West Hill Drive after receiving calls of gunfire. Police had missed the suspect by only minutes as he drove off in a black GMC truck. Q2 reported that deputies from Valier and Conrad found the vehicle and a chase ensued, ending at the Valier Pavilion boat ramp. With several law enforcement agencies present and after 3 hours of negotiation to peacefully surrender, the suspect shot himself. The names of the murder victim and the suspect has not been released. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. with cloudy skies and periods of light snow into the day today. We'll see accumulation staying from an inch or less around the region. High temperatures will, meanwhile, stay in the mid-30s in Bozeman to around 40 into the Billings vicinity. For tonight, with considerable cloudiness, a few flurries and snow showers also still possible, down to the lower to middle 20s. Then the outlook for Wednesday does call for isolated snow showers, mainly in the afternoon towards Bozeman. Otherwise, the high temperatures will stay around 40 degrees around the area on Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday night, partly to mostly cloudy, isolated snow showers, mainly into the Bozeman areas, as we head back down to low temperatures at around 23 in Bozeman, as well as into the Billings vicinity. Still looking at quiet weather for the latter half of the work week then. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Well, what's going to happen on Tuesday? Will Donald Trump be placed in handcuffs? Will the former president be arrested? We'll be following that story. Plus, week 12 of the Montana legislature. Lots to talk about this week right here on Montana Talks. And luckily, you get a chance to talk about it. You get a chance to jump in on the conversation, because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk and the show where you get to be heard all across Montana. Catch us statewide right here every Monday through Friday, 9 to 10 a.m.
This is John Dahl. Our professional staff takes pride in listening to what is important to your family, supporting and helping with all the details in planning the celebration of a loved one, creating meaningful tributes with personalized videos, custom folders, live streaming, and our newly remodeled facility, Dahl Funeral Chapel and Cremation Services, celebrating life since 1939.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Tim Stark in studio with us here. His company is Bespoke of Montana. Tim, great to have you in the studio. Thanks for popping in here.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so a lot of folks may know you. You're also the immediate past chair of the Yellowstone County GOP as well, so thanks for your years of service there.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, it was a good run. I think the group did a lot of good things for local stuff and built up the committee to do a lot of great things. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how they do here in the future.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I were kind of talking offline. You see a lot of infighting amongst GOP central committees in other parts of the state, Missoula, Great Falls, et cetera. And, you know, that's been one of the good things about the Yellowstone County Republicans in particular is the unity by and large, and not getting into these like petty side disputes from time and time again, and really dividing into two different parties. So hats off to you on that front.
Yeah, I think it, you know, it's important to, I guess, keep people, you know, keep them in line. And, you know, the role of those committees is to assist candidates and get them elected. And so I always looked at it from the perspective, is this getting us to that goal? We struggle with local candidates as far as getting outside of the county conservative support. Liberals get droves of support. You know, all the PACs, the Ford Montanans, the Planned Parenthoods, the unions.
All the Soros-backed groups that are funneling cash from elsewhere across the country, yeah.
Exactly, and so in the odd, even years, it's flooded with support on both sides of the aisle, conservative and liberal, or Democrat, Republican. Then in these odd years, it's the liberals have most of the support, and so I wanted to, if you think about it, if Billings had control of the council and the school boards, I mean, it would be we're red right now legislatively, but not all the way through. And I think some people forget that we don't have majorities at all on city council.
Yeah, I try to remind that, because sometimes I'll have some of my liberal friends on Twitter from other parts of the state that will say, oh, well, what about the crime in Billings and the Republican city of Billings? I'm like, Yellowstone County may be Republican, but you're right. The Billings School Board, the Billings City Council, they're dominated by the liberals right now. Mm-hmm. And we've got, you know, unfortunately, too many liberal judges. Thankfully, one of them is stepping down here in July. But, you know, liberal judges have put criminals right back out onto the streets. And so yeah, I have to always, you know, kind of wag my finger back at them. Oh, no, don't you call Billings a Republican-led city, because it is not. We've got an anti-police law enforcement oversight board that has been put in place. There's a lot of things, but you're right. One of the things I love about what Florida Governor Ron DeSantis did in Florida is they put together an organized effort to take back these liberal school boards all across the state of Florida, and they did it in a huge way. And so I'd love to see, you know, conservatives in Montana come up with a united, organized front like that as well. But I know there's some great young ladies that are stepping up to run for the school board right now. Brooke Wagner is an incredible candidate. Yep. For the school board. Andrea Nimitz is running as well, and there's
Star
others that
Emery.
I could mention. Who's the other one?
Star Emery. She's running up in the Heights, I believe, in District. Is it two? It's in the Heights.
Yeah.
Where I know that one's
at. And that's coming. I mean, that's 2 months away. Less than 2 months, yeah.
Well, ballots go out here in 3 weeks.
That's right, yeah.
And so, it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, if the community can get a stronghold on that part, I mean, Billings would be, I think, that's the last, you know, they've got Missoula, Bozeman, Helena, Whitefish. Billings is the last one, and like Ford, Montana is based. They have an office here in Billings, and I think that's the last school boards and city councils, all they have left.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're just going to sit down and, oh, he got us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. So, yeah, I fully believe that the city of Billings and Billings has such an impact on the entire state as well, too, that a liberal city council and a liberal school board in Billings will have impact elsewhere across Montana. So, yeah, great opportunity coming up to get some actual school board members who care about parents' rights, care about the kids, and won't just stonewall families like the Pennington family, who had the young lady with Down syndrome that just wanted to attend her senior year. Get some young women in there who care about our teachers, who care about our schools, and who care about our kids.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed.
Well, okay, let's get to what we actually brought you in here to talk. We can talk all hour with
yeah,
Tim,
right?
About a whole host of topics, but let's talk about 3D printed homes. So yeah, you've got a construction company, Bespoke of Montana, and I think KTVQ Television just did a big story about how you're doing these 3D printed homes. What's your elevator pitch? How do you describe 3D printed homes to Joe Schmo out there on the street?
Oh, geez. Well, let me back up. Q2 did a story back in August, too, when we got approval from the state. I did a few presentations around town with some organizations on, you know, the big fight with how do we increase the inventory in housing, how do we decrease costs, you know, all this stuff. And so I was been following 3D printing for about 6 or 7 years and found a company that I liked for a number of different reasons and a printer. And we were like, well, if we end up doing this, how are we going to get this through the building departments? Because they're inundated with permits and, you know, a lot of stuff going on. We'd throw this on them. They'd be like, what the heck? So we're like, well, maybe we have all the engineering, all the specs. Let's just go to the Department of Labor and get it across the board.
Yeah, have the states basically certify and say, yeah, this stuff is good to go. So you don't have to go through, you know, 56 different counties and then how many other localities on top of that. Yeah. Well, you were showing me some pictures. Well, we'll get into that after our next break because we got a break coming up here again. But, Tim, you'll be able to stick around for we might even keep you for the rest of the hour if you got the time. But
whatever you got.
Yeah, but anyway, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal, she looked at some of the photographs of the homes that you've been building with this 3D printed home technology. She said, these houses are beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. And I've got a piece of the material that's made from this 3D printer, and that's some strong stuff. So we'll talk about 3D printing homes in a lot more depth right after this.
Creative Planning presents Rethink Your Money with John Hagenson, Sunday at 9 a.m. At Creative Planning, our advisors will build a financial plan that is custom-tailored for you. It will include your investments, insurance, estate plan, taxes, and other personalized elements. Let Creative Planning guide you to a richer way to wealth. Visit creativeplanning.com. That's creativeplanning.com.
I'm Martin Hoke, the inventor of Navage Nasal Care, and I love Navage. I've told you about how your nose is the body's air filter, that Navage's powered suction will help flush out allergens, viruses, mucus, and germs, and that Navage will help you breathe better. But what do other people say about Navage? Like Josh, quote, After walking around my whole life being a mouth breather, I was excited to try Navage. I read the directions carefully, pressed the button, and oh my gosh, what a sensation. So much mucus, so much crud, but oh sweet, merciful air, I can finally breathe you through my nose. Never have I ever taken such an amazing breath in my life. This is a life changer. Unquote. He's one of over 100,000 online reviews praising Navage, the all-natural solution trusted by over 3 million people to help you breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and stay healthier without drugs. Navage is available at Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Target, Rite Aid, and online. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E, clean nose, healthy life.
The Dell Technologies semi-annual sale is on, with limited quantity deals on top tech. Save on select PCs powered by the latest 12th gen Intel Core processors, like thin and light XPS 13 laptops, Inspiron laptops, and 2-in-1s. Plus, get savings on select accessories, free shipping, and monthly payment options with Dell Preferred Account. Save today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Here's a bulletin from the Stress News Network. The CEO of Stress Incorporated has announced Stress will indeed not be taking any time off this new year. They will continue to produce Stress 24/7. So there it is, a little dramatic maybe, but nonetheless reinforcing the fact that Stress never leaves, which is why you should be installing a new spa today from Thompson Pools. A spa is a backyard oasis, a place where stress is just not allowed past the velvet rope. You settle into soothing, massaging waters that relax, refresh, and revitalize. And Thompson Pools is the perfect choice, not only for their selection and expert care, but because they're the source for complete installation, repair, and service. They also stock all related chemical products and have a comprehensive inventory of parts. There's so many ways Thompson makes life sweeter. So start at ThompsonPools.com. ThompsonPools.com. Remember, if it isn't a Thompson Pool, it ain't worth a dip. Thompson Pools.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
The Biden administration's version of the Waters of the U.S. went into effect yesterday, and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association expressed displeasure in a district court decision to deny a preliminary injunction of the rule. NCBA President South Dakota rancher Todd Wilkinson says the latest WOTUS rule will place more burdens on family farms and ranches, drive up costs, and prevent cattle producers from making investments in our land. End quote. The Environmental Protection Agency finalized the latest WOTUS rule at the end of 2022. NCBA and its litigation partners filed a lawsuit seeking to overturn the rule on January 18th. The group sought a nationwide preliminary injunction, which would have prevented the federal government from implementing the WOTUS rule until the entire case is decided. Instead, the court granted a limited injunction in only two states, Texas and Idaho. And also later today at noon at Lewistown Livestock Auction, the Montana Stock Growers Association will be holding a rollover auction with a fancy replacement heifer. The rollover auction funds, which will be used to fund its appeal of the Bureau of Land Management's decision regarding the American Prairie Reserve's grazing allotments in Phillips County. The auction will take place at noon at Lewistown Livestock Auction. You can visit protectopenspaces.com for more. I'm Lane Nordland.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with Tim Stark of Bespoke Montana. He's the one that's doing these 3D printed homes. Yeah, Tim, when I think of a 3D printer, I remember when these were first kind of getting to be a thing, I remember going to the Career Center, and they had a little 3D printer there where they could make, you know, basically like what, plastic moldings, I guess. And so, but this whole idea of making homes with a 3D printer, you showed me a video of the actual 3D printer that you have. To me, it looks like a crane, and you would be like the crane operator sitting on this thing, and this thing is spinning around and then just and shooting out the material that basically builds the exterior walls of these homes. Is that kind of a good description of it?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, it's a machine that I can literally drive through that door here in the studio. It'll fit through a 3-foot door, and then whereas a lot of other printers, they use a gantry style, which is like how a CNC works. And so the footprint of that building is limited to the size of the machine. So if you have a 25 by 25 machine, which is a big structure, that's all the bigger the house or building you can do without tearing down the machine. Ours, we can drive it around on site, put it on a flatbed trailer. It takes 30 minutes to set up, whereas these other ones literally take days and require infrastructure to support the machine.
Wow.
If that makes sense.
So what's it like sitting on this 3D printer?
You actually don't sit on it.
Oh, you don't sit on it? It's all remote control?
Yeah, it's on an iPad.
Really?
Yeah, so we'll get a set of floor plans. We have an AutoCAD plugin where it'll kind of scan the plan and then convert it to our, it's called G-code. And we'll show up on site. The printer will, it's got an elevation tool where it'll scan the perimeter for height variations. And then these, each one of these is a layer. So the first layer will be, you know, it can be anywhere from 7/8 to 1.25 inches thick. So that first layer is completely flat, and then it just goes and does the goes on up to, on one setting we can go 13 feet high, but then we can crane or pick the machine and go up to the second story or put it on a platform to, we can go up to 3 stories right now.
Really? Up to 3 stories, which is, I don't, are there any homes really in the Billings area that are more than 3 stories tall right now, unless there's some of those larger places out, you know, near the rims or out in Ironwood or something like that?
Right, but this could also be used in commercial development as well.
Sure.
So, and that's probably where the largest 3D printed building in the world is in Dubai, municipal building, and that was used using this printer, not the same one, but a similar one that they built. And I believe that was 14,000, and it was at least 3 stories high in some sections.
Very interesting. Yeah, because when I think of you kind of describing this 3D printer, I think of being in countries like the United Arab Emirates, where Dubai is at, or Bahrain, where you'll see just busload of typically a bunch of men from Bangladesh or some other country, and they're out there sweating in the sun all day long in 120-degree heat and humidity building these massive high-rises. Well, what if you had a printer for that? It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, and what I found interesting, the manufacturing of this machine, a lot of it's done by 3D printer. Another one, you know, they have 3D printers that do steel, like metal parts now. It's just not the plastics that we're used to seeing. And you mentioned the little printers. That was started in the 80s, and a guy named Chuck Hall got the patent in 86, but actually a guy in Japan came up with the technology in 1980. He was late filing the paperwork to get the patent, and his day job was a patent attorney, which is kind of ironic. But it's been around for a while, and this technology, a guy in USC in, I think, 2014 kind of put a vision out there using a gantry-style, big, bulky machine, and I didn't think it was doable then. But then after 2020, with everything that went on and the industries, and we need to create more, you know, efficiencies across the board, we saw a big jump. Like Icon is printing 100 home community in Texas. The company that makes this printer did stuff for SpaceX. So it's a, I mean, it's not a fad anymore.
Yeah. So the way I can describe what you have an example of what your 3D printer builds, the material that it makes. So if somebody is seeing a house being built across the street, right, and they're looking at that house, they'll come in, they put the foundation in, right, and then they put in, you know, they put in the cement foundation, right, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a construction guy. I know we got a lot of great ones that listen to this show here, but and then they start to put the walls up. But those walls are made out of wood.
Yep.
What you're building basically looks and feels like cement. You're basically building like a cement wall with this 3D printer for the walls of this home, right?
Yep. Yeah, so if you looked at a down section of the wall, it would look similar to a CMU or a cinder block.
All right. Hey, if you want to jump in on the conversation, too, if you have a quick question or a thought, give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a message on our Montana Talks app as well. In fact, we got a great question, great message here from Right On John in the Livingston area, Paradise Valley. And his question is this: how do these homes stand up to, say, earthquakes? How are these standing up to, say, over a stick-built building, is his question.
Well, I mean, that's yet to be seen because there's been very few in the states that have been done. But, I mean, they're going to be engineered just as, you know, any other building. Obviously, seismic activity in Bozeman or Livingston is a little bit different than here in Billings because they're closer to the, you know, West Yellowstone. And so I think that the structure would stand up to that activity just as well as any other wood frame. I mean, you're talking a solid concrete building, you know. So I'd leave that up to the engineers on that one.
Yeah. So you were telling me, you know, I think about, too, what's the big challenge that we hear from a lot right now, if you talk to any builders out there, any folks in the construction business, is, hey, we can't find enough workers. We can't find enough quality workers sometimes. And I know I've talked with some builders or people that are involved in various aspects of the building industry, and they'll tell you, man, it's like herding cats. Mm-hmm. You think you got five guys that are going to show up on the job site today at 8 o'clock, and yeah, maybe three of them show up. And so, you know, there's a lot of us that are hesitant that don't want to see workers and jobs replaced by technology. But this seems to be an example where technology can be used to literally fill it, both literally and figuratively, fill these gaps here.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest comment I get in a, you know, as far as a negative comment is replacing jobs. Well, I look at that as the people that I have to have on site, they have to be proficient in not only the current building standards and how to build a home, but they have to be also proficient in the technology, the material, and a guy has to be understanding G-code. If I go down to a job site and just grab a carpenter, I can't go down here and, hey, do you know G-code? No. So I'm actually adding people with a new skill to the industry. And I think with, you know, the younger people that are coming up, you know, they're not interested in slinging a hammer. You know, there are some.
They're technology focused.
Right.
Yeah.
And so being able to bring them into the picture, I think, will help. And efficiencies. I mean, I can there's minimal waste. Whatever comes out of the printer is what goes into the wall. We'll be able to use like geopolymers here next year, which is more environmentally friendly material versus using a Portland cement mix, which is used now because that's in abundance. And so there's a lot of pros to it.
Yeah, very interesting. This whole efficiency, and you know, that was one of the questions I threw to Tim during the last break was, okay, so you're basically building a cement wall out of this 3D printed home. Is that more expensive than building, you know, the wall out of wood, for example? Well, I want you to hear the answer to this question. It's very interesting. So we'll start there right after this quick break.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp now for free information on how to get started today. InventHelp provides invention services that help everyday inventors get started with their idea. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. Our services include professional materials needed to showcase your invention, and 3D animation and prototype modeling that help you demonstrate your idea. Get down to the details of your idea with a technical drawing. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Take advantage of the opportunity to get started today.
Call 1-800-217-4380. That's 1-800-217-4380. Again, 1-800-217-4380.
I'm Martin Hoke, the inventor of Navage Nasal Care, and I love Navage. I've told you about how your nose is the body's air filter, that Navage's powered suction will help flush out allergens, viruses, mucus, and germs, and that Navage will help you breathe better. But what do other people say about Navaj? Like Haley, quote, Navaj is the best thing I bought. I love it. My nose feels so clear now and I can breathe. I've been struggling with a stuffy nose for weeks. I bought Navaj and it's amazing. Or this one. I use Navaj every night, could not imagine life without it. I have 5 cats, and before I found Navaj, I was a clogged mess. Now I breathe so much better. Unquote. Those are 2 of over 100,000 online reviews praising Navaj, the all-natural solution trusted by over 3 million people to help you breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and stay healthier without drugs. Navaj is available at Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Target, Rite Aid, and online. Navaj, N-A-V-A-G-E, clean nose, healthy life.
Another prescription? Another surgery? Here we go again. But the joint pain is still here.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. Try something new that can lead you to a better life.
Football champion Emmett Smith's talking about QC Kinetics, all-natural, non-invasive alternatives to surgery and harmful pain medications.
I tried to avoid as many of those things as possible because I did not want to get hooked on pain meds. I didn't want those things to hamper my life.
Patients across the country are saying no to pain meds and discovering QC Kinetics' all-natural, biologic, long-lasting solutions to pain relief. Regenerative treatments that help your body restore damaged tissue and get rid of the pain.
The natural biologics that QC Kinetics is providing you gives your body a chance to naturally heal itself.
End the cycle of pain meds and avoid surgery.
Call QC Kinetics, 406-201-6263. That's 406-201-6263. 406-201-6263.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I almost forgot the question I was going to throw to Tim Stark there just before the break, but thankfully I remembered. The reason I almost forgot is because a listener in Laurel just sent in another great question as we're talking about 3D printed homes here with Tim Stark of Bespoke Montana. He's also the immediate past chair of the Yellowstone County Republican, so I know a lot of our friends know Tim here as well. In fact, speaking of mutual friends, one of our mutual friends, Adam Gilbertson, is a vice president for RDO Equipment. They're like the construction side of John Deere.
Yep.
And he travels like all over the world.
Yeah.
Specifically talking technology. And so, man, exactly what you're doing and talking about in the home building industry is exactly what he's talking about in the big construction industry for roads and, you know, interstates and heavy construction projects, because now with technology, they have drone operators. You know, these kids can become drone operators in the construction business. They can be, they now have technology that can within, you know, inches, maybe even centimeters,
yeah,
determine how much material they'll need to level out a road. So, like, for those of us who've driven from Winnet to Jordan, and you're like, woo-hoo, 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 because there were all those, like, roller coaster bumps in the road. Well, they have technology that can figure out a way to flatten that and use less material at the exact same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen where they did a 3D printed project and they had a drone that flew over and did a takeoff, and then it determined how much cut and fill, meaning how much material either had to be taken out or brought in. And the dirt contractor didn't have that technology, so he just kind of guessed. And when he threw the bill at the end, his final numbers were a lot more than what the drone did. So they were able to be like, no, this is actually what you actually have, because we can calculate within, you know, like you said, less than an inch, which is way more accurate. And you're bringing in the exact material you need. Again, more efficiencies.
Yeah. And then for those of you who've been to the digger days in Billings, or is it the dig it days in Bozeman area,
yep,
you get to see this type of technology and equipment firsthand. That's why big kids and little kids alike love to go to those types of events, because you can see just the high tech nature of a lot of this construction equipment and technology of today. So before I get to the listener and Laurel's question, the question I threw out to you during one of the previous breaks was like, okay, that looks very sturdy. I mean, you're basically you've got this 3D printer that you're operating from an iPad, basically building this cement wall is what it looks and feels like. That would sound like it might be more expensive than just a wood-framed house. But you told me that, no, you've actually saved money with this.
Yeah, I mean, we're using less people. I can literally do a 2,000-square-foot home with minimum of two people. I need to have one guy at the printer and then another guy at the extruder where the material comes out. Three is ideal, you know, just to have a floater on the job site. And so, yeah, the material is cheaper, the labor is less, and we can print quicker, less waste. So when you combine that, and like I showed you here with the sample, this could be the finished product. You could just paint it.
So yeah, you could just have a painted, you could just paint that wall for the wall of your house, or you could put siding on it or something else.
Yeah, and the whole idea is to, you know, kind of drive down costs. So if you wanted to put siding, like an accent wall, fine, but if you were to put siding on this, the entire home, that would not be exactly cost effective because you're anchoring into this masonry wall.
Oh, sure.
But
yeah.
The inside, you could also send a plaster crew around smooth. This is pretty smooth in compared to some of the competitors. But you could smooth this out and then paint it. And the only time that you would know that it's concrete is if you tried punching it or kicking it, which that would probably be the last time.
Well, and that's interesting to me, too, because, you know, we rewind the clock back to spring of 2020, and everybody starts wanting to move to Montana and vacation in Montana. And the home building industry exploded in Montana. It was already, you know, going pretty strong anyway, but it exploded. I remember being in Kalispell in, I think, the fall of 2020 or so, and I mean, we had builders in the Flathead saying, we can't even get parts. We can't even get the materials. We're sitting here waiting on a job site for material to show up. And lumber prices skyrocketed, went soaring. So if you didn't have a stack of inventory of your own supplies that you were warehousing or had in a pole shed out back, you were kind of out of luck for a while.
Yeah, exactly. And that was, I think, a lot of either homeowners or builders were frustrated with the volatility in the, like we were talking earlier with lumber futures, where it got up to $1,700 per thousand. Yeah, $1,700 per thousand. And a few weeks ago, it was around 300. And just like oil, these companies, they don't make money when it's that low. So these mills in like Canada, they'll go into curtailment and slow down the production, thus bringing the supply down at your local lumber yard, forcing the price to eventually go back up. So when the builder sentiment goes up, we're going to see a jump in lumber. Maybe not as high as we did in 2020. Hopefully it doesn't get to that because that will definitely slow down building. But this just, you know, to building right now, we just have wood and steel and, you know, some masonry stuff. But this just adds another element that we have access to
what's, build with. What's the raw product then? Is there a certain, I'm sure it's a protected mixture.
Yeah, it's the dry mix, so we'll go to like a batch plant, say a Knife River or a Hill and a Sand and Gravel. We'll get the dry material, and then we have a proprietary additive that we'll add into our bulk truck that'll hook up to our mixer. Next year, we'll be able to use geopolymers, which is a lot more environmentally friendly. Like, we've had conversations with folks in Bozeman, and that's one of their big, they want to build more environmentally friendly, and so
because that's what consumers in that area are demanding. Yeah,
in Missoula, and so that's what we're going to have to carry in order to meet that demand. Whereas, you know, over here, it's not as big of an issue.
Yeah, you know? Very interesting. Well, our listener Laurel had this question: what about insulating, thermal bridging?
Technical questions, thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the insulation, we can right now, like if you were to insulate your home right now, it's a R21 in a typical house. We can, in a 12-inch wall, we can get up to an R35, which is, way above code. Thermal bridging, we can actually, if need be, we've had it where we've printed an extra cavity. It's kind of hard to explain it without visually seeing it, but we'll print a separate cavity for just the insulation to sit in, creating that thermal bridging.
Yeah. So the so for me to dumb it down for myself, not having all the technical knowledge like you and some of our other listeners, basically what that tells me is that, hey, if you want to keep your house warmer in 40 below February, it'll keep your house warmer. When you want to keep your house cooler in 100 plus August, it'll keep your house cooler in 100 plus temperatures in August. And then what is the – one of our listeners, Jake in Billings, asked a question. What about the interior – I guess, construction of the house, would you still do all of the interior work the same with this type of a wall that you would with a traditionally built home?
Typically, you would frame, like the interior walls would be done conventionally. So you'd use your typical 2x4, 2x6, and drywall because, you know, we all have, you know, most of us have a significant other that wants to redo the kitchen or the bathroom. Well, you got to be able to move those walls or demolish them, and beating these off, you know, or demolishing these, you know, will be a hindrance versus, so like in a smaller setting, like a studio, say like 1,000 square foot where we don't have a lot of interior walls, we'll print these. But yeah, you'll go in and you'll frame a wall just like you would in a typical cinder block setting.
Yeah, well, crazy. Well, Tim Stark, it's been great catching up with you here and chatting with you about this. Oh, let me see. Tim in Billings has a looks like a quick question. So before we throw to the break here, Tim, yeah, thanks for your call. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Good morning, gentlemen. Real quick, is the material you use, have you ever heard of aerocrete or styro-aerocrete? And then the other thing I was kind of wondering about is, like I know in Colorado, they have to have like a 2.5-inch gap between the base of their slab and their walls they build for their walls to be able to move because of geo movement, you know, seismic activity. Is that a concern in Montana with this type of building?
All right. Thanks for the question, Tim.
So the first comment or question, no, I have not heard of that company or outfit. The second question, I mean, that's going to depend on where you're building. I mean, if you're building, again, down, you know, Big Sky, Dillon, where you're closer to that West Yellowstone, you're probably going to have your stuff engineered for a lot more seismic activity versus over here in Billings or eastern Montana or, you know, up on the High Line. So that'll all just be dependent on where you're building.
All right. Well, Tim Stark, great to catch up with you this morning. Very interesting topic. If people want to see, you know, what your technology actually looks like, some of the homes you've built, do you have a website? Where can people kind of go take a look at it?
They're finishing up the site right now, which it should be live, but they'll eventually be able to go to bespokemt.com. But if they go there now, it's under construction. So,
all right, not as fast of a website construction as the actual 3D printed home construction.
Yeah,
huh?
We literally have the printer in front of everything else. So
that's
but
right.
That's the way it goes.
All right. Well, Tim Stark, great to catch up with you. Thanks for dropping into our studios here.
Likewise, thanks, Aaron.
All right, we got a couple other great guests joining us here right after this, and then John Jackson in the 8 o'clock hour.
Fox News commentary.
First they came for our gas stoves, and now our washing machines. Well, come and take it, Joe. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
New from the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
And I had nothing to do with her disappearance.
I sit down with the people who lived the nightmares.
I was in shock. I was just devastated.
The investigators who tirelessly worked on the case.
And I really hope that they can catch this guy.
Bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
These are the stories that keep you up at night.
First, they came after our gas stoves, and now the administration's climate change police has its sights set on your washing machines, folks. Biden's Department of Energy proposed new efficiency standards for washing machines that will require them to use less water, all to fight climate change. But leading manufacturers are crying foul, saying these new guidelines will reduce washing performance. You know, the whole point of the machine in the first place. Washing cycles would take longer, detergent will cost more, and clothes will ultimately be less clean. And all for what? So the administration can appease Big Green. This is not for the environment, folks. This is another example of government overreach and government control. But we won't and will not ever wear dirty clothes to appease Big Green, Joe. Not gonna happen. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-611-6638. That's 800-611-6638. Again, 800-611-6638. That's 800-611-6638.
Yeah, I know, Sean is the host, but the real star is Linda the producer. Catch them both on The Sean Hannity Show, weekday afternoons 1 to 4 on News Talk 103.3 and AM 970.
Give your family the gift of pre-planning. This is John Dahl. Pre-planning your own funeral is easy, and there is no charge for writing down your wishes. Planning ahead takes away the emotional stress for your family. It allows you to personalize your service and have a permanent record of all the details that are important to you. Dahl Funeral and Cremation Services, helping families celebrate life since 1939.
At Batteries Plus, we do more than fix phones and tablets. We help our neighbors power their lives. Visit Batteries Plus for free auto battery testing and free installation, too, on most vehicles at most locations. See batteriesplus.com for details.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I knew we had a couple more great guests joining us in studio, but I just didn't know how cool these guests were going to be. We got Sam the Beer Man and Kara in the house with us right now from the Road Rash Riders Club. Is that right,
that's
Sam?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, well, great to see both of you.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Kara, ladies first, tell us about the Road Rash Riders Club and this great event you got coming up Saturday night.
Absolutely. So the event is on Saturday. It's Strikes Against Cancer. It's to benefit a local Billings girl, 9-year-old Anna Williams. She was diagnosed in August with B-cell lymphoma. So she did her original treatment in Denver, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
But she's been able to do most of the treatment lately here in Billings. So the event is out at Town and Country Lanes. Registration is at 12 p.m. and bowling starts at 1. A team of 4 is $100. There's space for 24 teams. We have about 16-ish right now, so there's space for a few more teams. It is a family-friendly event, so kids, parents, friends, whatnot. It is a single elimination tournament, no handicaps, just
scratch bowling.
Just scratch bowling.
We are allowing, after the first round, because it's single elimination, if a team wants to buy back in on that second round, $40 gets the whole team back in and gives them another shot at the title. So.
Yeah, and all goes to benefit this young cancer patient right now.
Yeah.
Great
and
cause.
And her family.
Yeah. Sam, the beer man, one of my favorite nicknames for one of our listeners here. You work at Briggs Distributing, but you're also a military veteran. I was in Helena, and some friends of mine, you know, they work with the beer wholesalers and the distributors across the state, and they said, hey, you're a veteran. You got to see this video that we put together for Veterans Day. And this was really cool. The beer distributors did a video thanking veterans on Veterans Day, but they featured the veterans that work for their various distributors across Montana.
And
I said, hey, there's Sam the Beer Man right there in the Veterans Day video. So got pretty excited.
Yeah.
But you guys try to, with Road Rash, you're not only helping, you know, kids that might have cancer, but you're also, you know, do a lot for veterans as well.
Yeah, we work with the Veterans Meat Locker. Most of what we do is working with veterans that need help with things. But this one event every year we do is for a child with cancer, our Strikes Against Cancer. We do it every year. So it's a good time. The weather's not exactly riding weather yet, but
it's getting ready to get busy.
You know, it's funny when you think about, I know our radio stations in Billings will do these bike night events, and I've seen you guys there, basically outdoor music at a, you know, local bar or establishment, and biker clubs from all across the area will show up for it. There used to be this connotation, oh, the bikers are here. When I think of the bikers are here, I'm like, man, these are, so many of these bicycle, you know, clubs, these bike clubs do incredible events like what you're doing right now.
Absolutely. The biker community in Billings and the surrounding area does so much for the community as far as raising money for families, raising money for veterans, raising money for people that have gone through horrendous things, up to the toy drive that we do every year that the Road Dogs put on, to make sure that, you know, underserved kids in the community get a Christmas. The biker community is really, really more than what people realize, for
and,
sure.
And all the bikers and the clubs, we are all very tight-knit. We're in contact with each other all the time and working together on things. So
yeah, so this is Strikes Against Cancer, a benefit for Anna Williams, March 25th, registration 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. This is at the Town and Country Lanes for our listeners in the Billings area. Four-person teams, $100. Yeah, should be just a fun event for a very good cause.
Yeah, and then if anybody, you know, can't make it or doesn't want to bowl, like I personally will not be bowling because I'm stoked if I break 100. If, you know, if anybody wants to help support this family and just do a donation, there's a couple of different ways they can do that. They can come to the event, you know, check it out, come say hi, you know, show some support and donate that way. Or if you want to donate, you can Venmo me at Kara, K-A-R-A dash Oots, O-U-Z-T-S, Zebra Tom Sam. But yeah, anything that we can get together for Anna and her family would be just spectacular.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of help from some of the businesses in town. The Den Sports Bar, the Grandstand. Tim Zorn, that owns the Grandstand, is actually, he was going to bowl in it, but he's in Reno bowling.
Oh, okay. He's
cool,
a big bowler then.
Yeah. Oh, and
yeah.
Then the 406 is having a bingo night tonight,
yeah,
also with the proceeds going to support Anna and her family as well.
Very cool. Well, thanks for all you're doing. Great to see both of you here in studio with us. Thanks for dropping in.
Well, and if anybody needs any more info or has questions, they can reach out to Sam at 839-3230.
Awesome.
Thanks for your service.
Hey, thanks for yours. Thanks for coming in. Great to see both of you. John Jackson joining us in the 8 o'clock hour.